Today on Real Life Radio.
Marriage is worth fighting for. It's worth fighting for. When God gets a hold of it, he'll take the worst marriage and make it into the most amazing thing for a ministry tool. And you'll be blessed by it. Don't be surprised if God catapults you before people, because it's greatly needed today.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible.
Hey, Pastor Jack here. I want to give you guys a quick update on what's going on in Southern California in wake of the devastating and forever life-altering fires that have ravaged the Southland. Things have never been like this before. And I mean that where a fire has never been seen like this before, where the sky was aflame and the winds were blowing 80, 90 miles an hour. Flames and fire horizontally has devastated homes by the tens of thousands, and there's over 150,000 people without a home. And I say all that, my friends, to encourage you to consider this. Please, please consider giving to the Samaritan's Purse organization. Franklin Graham, we're working with them. We're on the grounds here in our own neighborhood, so to speak, of Los Angeles, Malibu, the Palisades, Eaton Canyon, Altadena, areas of Pasadena, and it is overwhelmingly epic. I promise you this, give what you can to SamaritansPurse.org. SamaritansPurse.org. Go there and send support to them regarding the Southern California fires. Please do not send us any of your money. Do not send it to Real Life. Do not send it to Real Radio. Please send it direct. Your contribution is a 501c3 tax deductible contribution to the right people. Samaritan's Purse, and you can go to SamaritansPurse.org. Thank you very much.
On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues now with his series called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter. And today we'll take a look at a message called When God Gets a Hold of Your Marriage, Part 3. Now, the Apostle Peter was, of course, a disciple of Jesus Christ, and he later on became the leader of the first church. And he shares with us how it was God who designed marriage. You see, we learned previously that wives weren't valued as they should have been in Peter's day. But God has called all Christian husbands to treat their wives as an equal partner. The husband's love and respect for his wife provides a safe space for her to submit to him as head of the household. So today, Pastor Jack teaches us that God really does honor the dedicated love of a wife, especially towards an unbelieving husband. It's one of the greatest mission fields set before the church today. Now, with his message called When God Gets a Hold of Your Marriage, Part 3, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
They'll look at a woman of God, and they may not even know that she's a woman of God, but the woman carries herself different. She speaks with confidence. She's strong in the right ways. She's not brazen. She's appealing in the right way. When the Holy Spirit is working in a woman's life. So mark the word observe. The word in the Greek means this. This is what the original language meant when Paul wrote it, or when Peter wrote it. It means to look upon. When the husband looks upon her, to gaze at her. It's a beautiful picture because the word means this. Everybody watch my face. It means this. The word means this. Does that send you a picture? What do you do? When you're looking like this, what are you doing? You're thinking, what is this? The husband's somewhat amazed. What's going on here? He sees this. The word means to evaluate and to examine. Very powerful. It means to ponder. One translator of the Greek language puts it this way. It means to look at the observable fact. I like that. What are you looking at, sir? My wife. What about her? There's an observable fact. I don't understand it. She loves God, you know, whatever that thing is going on. But there's something different about her. I don't see this in other people. Thank God for a woman's witness and testimony that way. But the word goes on, and I'll read it to you just right out of the scholars who penned this, the Greek meaning of it, and I thought it'd be good for you to have. It says the word here employed by the Holy Spirit, of course, the author of the Bible is powerful because of the fact that it was
most often used in the first century Roman Empire as a legal term. It was a word used in court proceedings regarding a witness. The exact meaning of the word is this, quote, "I am an eyewitness to the events in question." Imagine, the husband is saying, the Bible implies that the husband will someday, based upon the word usage, confess that I am an eyewitness to the events in question. Ooh, what's in question? Let's read on. It carries with it the thought of the final day of judgment. The unbelieving husband will someday stand before God the judge and will confess to the hidden truth now made known to eternity, which will be, quote, this is the unbelieving husband. Think, he dies in unbelief. He had a godly wife. Imagine his hand raised before the great bar, the great judge in heaven. Quote, "I testify that it is a fact that my wife loved you, God. I saw that truth in her life. I stood repeatedly against what she believed, and I was willfully in rejection both of her witness and the witness that you showed me by not believing in her or you." Strong word. If you're an unbelieving husband and you have a Christian wife today, God is warning you that he has that woman in your life to reach your soul for eternity. God loves you and he cares about you and he gave you your wife. In Luke chapter 12, verse 2, the Bible says, Luke 12, verse 2, that there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be made known. Therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark or in secret, some of your translations say, it will be heard in the light. And what you have spoken in the ear, a whisper, in inner rooms will be proclaimed on the housetops. This is the Jesus speaking about the day of judgment. The Bible says that all things before God will be laid out. Each of us as individuals, and it says in the Bible, will be naked before God. Now look, if you're a Christian, that's terrifying enough. Paul said it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, right? And that's for the believer. But listen, our sins are forgiven. Those of you who are Christians, not one of your sins will be brought up on the day of judgment. Can we? Thank you, God. That's the whole work of atonement at the cross. That's what Jesus did. Jesus took that away. Listen, allow me to put it this way. It was a covenant, a contract between God the Father and God the Son that he would die for the sins of the world. And all those who would trust Jesus for what he did at the cross 2,000 years ago, what the Father does is apply the blood of Christ to the sin of the sinner, and it's washed away because the righteousness of Jesus becomes ours, handed to us. We don't earn it. Please, if there are any of you dear knuckleheads in here this morning that think you can get to heaven by being good, you'll only wind up being the best person in hell. You can't get to heaven by being good. You can't do it. God doesn't grade like that. He grades on the scale of perfection, which is no scale. You either today have the righteousness of Jesus Christ given to you because you have faith in Christ, you trust him, or you don't. And the Bible says in the last day, everything's going to be made known. But for us who are believers, the Bible says we have passed from judgment into life. Woo-hoo, man. You can clap about that. Beauty. The godly example. I think of Rebecca in the Bible, Genesis 24. Listen to what the Bible says about her. Genesis 24, beginning of verse 16. It says, now the young woman, that's Rebecca, was very beautiful. Okay, when the Bible says, and the woman was beautiful, that's something. But when the Bible says she was very beautiful, that means she was very beautiful. Rebecca was a cutie beyond. She was not only cute, there was something about her. She was a godly girl. But what do we know about her? Well, imagine having your life written down in the Bible. It's right here. It says that she was very beautiful to behold, to look at. She was a virgin. No man had known her. And she went down to the well, filled her pitcher, and came up, and the servant, this is Abraham's servant, ran to her and said, please, let me drink a little water from your pitcher. So she said, drink, my lord. She's showing respect, this stranger. Then she quickly let her pitcher down to her hand and gave him a drink. Verse 19, and when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, I will draw water for your camels also until they have finished drinking. Excuse me, earlier the Bible says this man had 10 camels. Have you ever seen a camel drink? No. You want to know why? Because they rarely drink. But when they drink forever. Okay? That's why you've never seen one drink. So Rebecca is filling up to the well and back 10 camels. She's filling up each hump at the pump. Very beautiful. What's amazing? She's a servant girl. In heart. She's not a servant. She's a servant at heart. Verse 20 says, she quickly emptied her pitchers into the trough and ran back to the well to draw water and drew for all of his camels. And the man wondering at her remained silent so as to know whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. Any woman who fills up your tank like Rebecca's doing, because you know God had laid out this wonderful plan in Genesis. This is a beautiful woman who was not so enveloped in her good looks to be a kind and gentle spirit. I've told you before, I'll say it again. Rebecca's not only beautiful, she's beautiful inside. Somebody can be beautiful on the outside, and when you get to know them, they become as ugly as sin. I mean, what? I don't care what you look like. Look, I'm an old man now. I'm smart. It's too bad we get real smart when we get old. And we're the smartest right before we die. But we make, you know what? We need to trust God in our relationships. We make it too difficult.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Look, if you're married today, make it work. Make it work. But you don't, no buts. Is there hurt? Is there pain? Is there history? Of course there is. Just get help and make it work. Why? For just this one reason alone. If God is allowed to have a chance to work in your marriage, all the junk that makes you sick, that breaks your heart, all the junk, you know what he does? He reconfigures it. He makes it into an awesome ministry. He gives you and your husband or you and your wife the ability to speak into other people's lives, and you can say, you know what? I was married to a bum. Or I was married to a bummerist, a she-bum, and it was horrible, and her marriage was ruined. But, and you hear it all the time, but I was in Minneapolis yesterday, and a woman came up after I was done speaking, and she said, I was watching last Sunday's message. You mentioned in your message that in the foyer, somebody said I was going to be leaving my husband this week, and this message gave me the encouragement to stay and to make it work. And she said, I heard that. That was my plan. And she said, I heard what you said about what that woman said to you, and God said, you can do the same. And she said, I set out this week to love my godless husband. Amen. That's tough work, ladies and gentlemen. But I commend her for that commitment. But let me tell you, when God turns your marriage around, marriage is worth fighting for. It's worth fighting for. When God gets a hold of it, he'll take the worst marriage and make it into the most amazing thing for a ministry tool. And you'll be blessed by it. Don't be surprised if God catapults you before people, because it's greatly needed today. But the Lord, just like Rebecca, you can see this love being detected. She's special. Based on this word observe, it's what we've been talking about, where there's such a great demand and need for a witness that the unbelieving husband would observe, just study and look. Wives, please, do not put this yoke on your shoulders. I am not saying, nor is the Bible saying, you got to be perfect in front of your man. There's no such thing. God's commandments are gentle, and His Holy Spirit gives us the power to do them. God's on your side. You might say, Jack, my marriage is so messed up, and sometimes I've just prayed that God would take my life out of this marriage. God would just kill me, or maybe kill my husband. But I want it over. You know God understands that feeling. He's not pointing a finger at you. He's extending hands to you. And He's saying, you know what, just give me another chance. Just give me a chance. And to the wife I say today, not exclusively, of course, but the context, we're talking about wives putting up with unbelieving husbands, but this is for all of us. But to the wife I say, Matthew 6:31, the Bible says in Matthew 6:31, therefore do not worry, Jesus said, saying, what shall we eat and what shall we drink and what shall we wear? That's what everybody worries about. For after all these things do the Gentiles or the non-believers seek. For your heavenly Father knows what you have need of and all these things, but seek, here it is, verse 33, but seek. The word means search. Turn over everything to find it. Leave nothing undone to pursue first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And look at the promise Jesus gives. Put God first, and then He ends it. All these things will be added to you. Wife, listen, wife of an unbelieving husband, seek God first. And God says, I'll add to you all these things. There's an order to pursue them. God wants us to have this dedicated love. And then the word chaste, mark it there in your Bibles. It means sacredness, her sacredness. When He observes her sacredness, dedication, purity. Listen to this. I like it. It means her heart or her soul. This presupposes that there's been a change in her life. And He's looking at that. He's pondering. He's observing. This is an amazing, powerful thing, because now you already know that He's watching the change going on in your life. Of course, it's not perfect, but there's a change. He can't figure it out. There's something different. And God is speaking to him and saying, you better pay attention to this change. I am hereby putting you on notice, Mr. Unbeliever. I have given you not only my son on the cross, I've given you this wife that is a testimony to who I am and what I can do. And you need to make a decision. We're living in what the Bible calls the last days. And everything is enumerated in the Bible regarding these last days, and it's getting more clear, more clear every year. It's getting more clear. And it all can be known. It all can be studied. It can all be. I sat on a plane last night on the way home to a currently active young man, U.S. Army, 6 years, stationed at Fort Irwin. And it was awesome. Some of you know Professor Lewis at CBU. Awesome brother of God. So great. So I get on the plane coming home, and there's Dr. Lewis sitting there. And I said, Dr. Lewis, oh my goodness, great to see you. Well, he's sitting on the aisle, and I'm sitting on the window, and there's an open seat in the middle. Plane's about ready to take off, but this young kid comes in, big kid. You know, it's great. But, you know, it's tough sitting like this all the way. Big kid, U.S. Army. So Dr. Lewis and I were talking around him like this. We're acting like he's not even there. So I said, excuse me, this is Dr. Lewis, Cal Baptist University professor. And my name's Jack. But if you haven't picked up on it, we're Christians. And he just said, that's fine, sir, that's fine. And I said, well, wait, let me tell you something right now. And I said, you know, there's Christians and then there's followers of Jesus. There's a big difference. And I just want you to know that we're not Christians. We're followers of Jesus. And the Bible, I started talking to him about the Bible, and he said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. You know, it was great. But he said, oh, I've been all around the world. He said, this is good. This is good for a kid to say. I've been all around the world. And he said, there's no place like America to come home to. I said, you know what? God bless you, young man, and thank you. I said, thank you for that. I said, I'm sitting on this plane right now with you, safe and sound, because people like you are all over the world sacrificing your freedoms that we can do this right now. And I want to shook his hand. I want to thank you. And he was completely blown away.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Higgs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called When God Gets a Hold of Your Marriage, Part 3. Thanks for being here today. This message is part of Pastor Jack's series called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter. It's a series that takes us through the life and times of the Apostle Peter, whose love for Jesus Christ carried him through great persecution, and whose compassion for others still inspires us today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
Hey everybody, according to Psalm chapter 65, verse 11, the psalmist wrote that may the Lord bless your year with abundance. May your path drip with increase. It's a blessing. Psalm 65, 11. And I just want to talk to you briefly about that. We are still so fresh into a new year that we can almost have forgotten that. Look, from January 1st to today, the news has been so profound and so actually threatening. And I'm coming to you from Southern California, where we are basically burning down, right? So what's the thing? What's the deal? How do I go into this new year? Understand this, my friends. As we go into this new year, more than ever before in life, number one, we've never been this late in the hour of church history. Friends, listen, don't take things in a nonchalant way. Don't take things common. You have never lived this long before. The calendar has never been down the corridors of time as late as it is today. And the fact of the matter is time is running out. So the issue is this. You want to commit this year to the Lord in a very, very deliberate way. You do not want to be apathetic about that. Having said that, number two, you're going to want to make sure that you give yourself to Bible reading and make it a strong discipline. How about this? What if you were to say to yourself, I am not going to eat food until I read my Bible? I promise you, you will read your Bible because you're going to want to eat food. And that's what I'm asking you to do, to join me in doing that very thing, to read Bible first before I get to the food, to put God first in the day before I put myself or the calendar before the day. And then the third thing is this, worship. Boy, this is a big one, worship. Because first of all, worship, according to Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, worship is our very existence. That's who we are. What we say, what we do. Listen, technically, what I'm doing with you right now, this is an offering of worship to the Lord, because the hope is to draw you closer to Jesus. But how you live your life, what you ingest, what these eyes are allowed to see is either pagan and worship or it's holy in worship. And to the believer, God wants it to be holy worship. And in that, I want you to consider this as I wrap this up. Your life is to be a life that is expecting God to move and to provide for you this year. You are now committing yourself to put the Word of God first, and then you're going to be a worshiper of God, and you're going to start today. And to do that, I would love to invite you to a little aspect of it, because most of this, friends, listen, it's between you and God alone. In fact, the true, real you, if you're a believer or not, is proven by your private time with God. Do you have a private time with God? Believers do. People are going to heaven, have got to be taking frequent dosages of heaven before we get there, because we're hooked on heaven. And so, friends, listen. I'm going to invite you to join me at 5 a.m. Pacific time, 5 a.m. Pacific time every day in the year 2025. We've been meeting all these days thus far since January 1st, 5 a.m. Pacific time for 5 minutes. I'll lead you in a prayer
and you're going to be nice to me because I roll out of bed, so to speak, and just come to you live. But we'll pray together. And here's what's fun about it. You can go to #liftdailyprayer, #liftdailyprayer, and you can join us and you can listen and you can post your own prayer in that grand community that has been forming. And together, we can hold each other accountable and we can move forward praying for one another and praying with each other. So stand strong, 2025, in the Word, and make it your worship. God bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.
This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.